Hi, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Our team is back today to discuss AI. Today we're going to be speaking specifically to making your data work for you using AI and BI. I'm Sue Bruzzi, the Marketing Director here at 2W Technologies. With me today, I've got Mark, who is our President and CEO, Tom, who is our CTO, and Alex, who is our Solutions Engineer. W Technologies, we're a technology solution and managed service provider. We've got an extensive line card of products and services. We are an Epicor Platinum Elite partner, as well as a Microsoft partner, as you can see that we've got four designations and one competency. For all of our products and services, you can check us out at 2wtech.com. I will go ahead and turn it over to Mark to get the presentation started.
All right. Hey, thanks, Sue. Hey, everybody. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. I think we've got a pretty interesting presentation for you. We're gonna talk about getting to your data. We're gonna talk about how to get visibility, how to visually see your data, enhancing that visibility utilizing AI tools. We're gonna show you some automation stuff. We're actually gonna do a demo or two and show you some real life examples. So wish us luck on that one. I think this is something you should get a lot out of. And this is really, I think, what we want you to take away when we're all done here is understanding how to make your data accessible. It doesn't have to be, we're going to leverage a lot of Microsoft products, but there's a whole bunch of other products that do this. We just happen to be experts in the Microsoft side of this. Anyway, this is what we want you to take away. So let's start here. Alex, you talk to virtually every client who raises their hand and says, hey, I got to do something with AI. I'm not quite sure what it is. What are you hearing from our clients and what kind of concerns and feedback are you getting?
So I'm seeing a lot of confusion right off the bat. But more specifically, what I'm seeing is concerns and confusion on how keep the model safe. How do they keep their data safe using AI? The other big thing I'm seeing is the variability of different use cases that are out there. So whether that's from our processes, our SOPs, to grounding AI in product information to help with the quoting process. The use cases are really broad, really wide, and it's really cool to see all the different applications out there.
So we're going to go through, we're going to try not to keep this too wonky for everybody, Tom. So that I think that challenge is going to be on you mostly.
Of course.
So let's start at where the initial issue really is, which is your stuff is everywhere, right? Just kind of walk us through this, would you?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know, obviously just a generic representation of what your company or a company might look like, but, over the years, you know, companies acquire data. You know, you've got engineering data, you've got manufacturing more or less real-time data, you've got time, labor, detail information, you've got other operational things, all of that from your ERP. You might have data from Salesforce, and your sales teams are out there collecting things and doing all their notes and CRM type data. And then you know, if you're like us or many other companies, you've got, you know, marketing people, and you've got people like Sue that are out there just generating, you know, just terabytes of marketing information and, you know, what should we be paying attention to? And of course, you know, God love the finance people, but they've got 10,000 Excel spreadsheets. So, you know, and then all of these things live in various versions and copies over maybe years or generations of, you know, like for us, Epicor, you know, you've got Epicor Kinetic today. Before that, you had Epicor 10. Before that, you had 9, 8, 7, well, a few 7s, 6, 4. You know, you've got people with data in all of these different silos. And, you know, for the most part, your data is, you know, the thing that differentiates your business from another one. So I think it's a real problem.
It is. And it's so, and you do, and you have them in there in different, you know, even though they may be in the same database, and we run into this a bunch, they may be in separate disparate tables within that database. And so you got to know where that is. And then, of course, you have your unstructured data, which is essentially your Word docs and your PDFs. And then, you know, we're also working through a bunch of these types of projects. There's a lot of acquisition going on in our client base. And so what are you going to do with all that stuff? And it gets exponentially larger. I mean, I think we did the analysis, Tom, that we had something in the neighborhood of over 3 million Word and PowerPoints and Excel sheets just inside 2W Tech alone. And so it just, and that's just us. Imagine if you've been in business for, you know, multiple decades, how big acute this problem is. So the answer, right, is this. Tom?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, you've got all those silos, right? And to some degree, you've over the years integrated them, right? You can move data back and forth. You can, maybe you're using some business intelligence tools or Excel direct queries or something to, you know, pull data from multiple sources. But every time you do something, it becomes a one-off project. You know, you're out there, you're having to reinvent the wheel each time. And then, like Mark talked about, you know, the new acquisition, you brought in a new company and all of theirs, right? So what do we do about that? Well, you know, what we do, and, you know, the Microsoft answer to this, and there are other, you know, platforms out there as well, but is an end-to-end platform, a unified platform. And in our case, that's Microsoft Fabric. So, you know, it's about unifying those data sources. It might be by replicating data into something like a data lake or, you know, somewhere in Fabric. There's a lot of different ways of storing data in there. Or it might be providing links back to the data. So real-time data links, it's really even better. You know, we want as little duplication of data as possible, obviously. So, you know, so Fabric allows us to take all those different disparate data sources and pull them together, where you can then use, you know, tools against it, right? So you've got a more or less uniform endpoint that you can point Power BI at, or that you can use Azure Data Factory, or we may talk a little bit about Synapse, data engineering, real-time analytics, things like that. And of course, things like Copilot. You know, AI tools, whether it's Copilot or some other tool, being able to have a unified endpoint that you can point to, and this represents my data. That's where we're going. You know, that's where we're going with this. That's where we're taking our clients with this. And that's where, you know, you want to be looking to get the most out of those tools.
Yeah. So let's take a quick peek under the hood of, I promised everybody we weren't going to get too wonky, because we could spend three webinars on Fabric and data lakes and Databricks and all that other stuff. But just at a real high level, let's walk everybody through just sort of the interface of Microsoft Fabric.
Yeah, Mark made me make this a still image rather than clickable, because I could spend an hour or two on every one of these boxes. You know, this is one view, one place where you might be looking in Fabric, right? So this, you know, this represents a particular workflow. And some of the things that you can do all in this single unified platform, right? So you can imagine each of these boxes you could click into and go crazy. But, you know, you've got your data coming in. Some of it's getting stored as replica data. Some of it is links. Then you're going to be analyzing that data in some way. You might be using it for machine learning or other AI tools, something like that. Otherwise, you're preparing it for visualization. Track data over time, changes, deltas, these are really important in business and something that gets missed in most ERP systems and most traditional ways of dealing with data. And then what are you going to do with it? You know, is this going out in Teams? Is this going out for reports? Is this going out to, you know, screens in the lobby? Is this, you know, what are you doing with that data? How is it being distributed? And then, you know, a distribution piece there might also be archive, compliance, things like that. So I'm obviously glossing over a lot here, but this is just a, you know, a traditional workflow for, you know, one of our clients.
Okay, so let's get to the good stuff. This is what we're going to show you today. We're going to show you some dashboards. It's fairly obvious, but I think this whole thing starts with visualization. Alex, we get a lot of we have a lot of conversations where people say, hey, I want to do AI. And then it turns out they really just need a dashboard.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's how do you want to see your data? And sometimes it's, I need the visual. And sometimes you need to be able to communicate in that natural language. A lot of times it's starting, okay, let me get my pile of data and have a way to view it, organize it. That's not a big, nasty Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, there you go. So why don't you take over and let's dive in.
All right, perfect.
And Alex, while you get set up, I wanted to make sure that everybody knows. Sue, can they use the Q&A feature here to ask questions?
Yeah, they can send a chat or a Q&A.
Great, thanks.
Perfect. Everything's sharing out all right?
Yep.
All right, so what you're looking at here is, and I'm starting here, if you notice, this is inside of Teams. And one of the best parts about Power BI is that it can connect directly into your Teams and you can access it right from Teams, because my whole workday is I'm in and out of Teams all day. And so having one place to go where it's my messages, my meetings, my documents, and then my Power BI reports, I think is a huge advantage, makes it easy to use the tool. And so what you're looking at here, these are some of our pre-built plug and play Power BI templates made for manufacturers. And so I won't go into extensive detail on the content of them, but really want to show here is the visualization of the data. So I've just opened in our executive summary dash Power BI page. And what it's showing here is high level what's going on in the business. So a visual of our open receivables, our open payables, total, and then high level open orders, invoiced amounts, shipped orders, booked orders. So you're able to quickly jump in, see what's going on with the business, get access to the data, and then as needed, be able to go into more specific reporting. So here you're looking at the open AR, overtime, by client, and then also the detail breakdown view. Now, one of the nice things about Power BI is as you're looking, there's a lot of customability and there's a lot of filterability here. So if you notice, I can sort from different aging buckets down to the terms, which company name, production group. If it's a category, you can filter by in Power BI, filtering by date ranges. So you can really drill in and dive in, see what's going on with your data in an easy to use fashion. One other thing as we're showing visualization. So there's your standard graphs, there's your standard bar charts. There's other different ways. And one of my favorite ways that data is that you can visualize your data, there's two. One is you can map it out. So here you can see, hey, where are my sales located? So customer map, which region are they in by size? What I really like here is the decomposition tree of showing of a choose your own adventure of Power BI data. So if you notice, I starting at total margin, I can go by sales rep. So who's our top rep? And then breaking down there by customer name. Okay, and then breaking it down even further by what production groups are involved, what are they getting, okay, and but then by what part number. And you can see how the data flows through those different categories and gives you another way to take action and really visualize what's going on outside of a big nasty Excel spreadsheet. So the other nice thing, so I'm inside of Teams right here, and so I'm going to flip over to the web page, because you can also, another feature inside of Power BI is an alerting function. So we said it connects right into your Teams and it integrates. So you can go in and have it alert you when the data changes. So here you're looking at production review, looking at different labor analytics. And so I'm going to go in and set an alert that when my productivity decreases, when there's a change, so when it goes below our goal of 80%, to go and send me a message. So I'll go over here, when that productivity less than or equal, actually we'll go less than 80%, which is our goal, it will send me a notification, and we can also, we'll have an alert Tom too that we're not meeting our goal. Hit apply. And now if that productivity goal drops below 80%, which is our metric, I'll get a notification, Tom would get a notification, and then we can go in and address it. So we don't have to constantly be monitoring the report. The report will let us know what's going on.
Alex, I think that that this kind of taking action from your data rather than just visualizing and querying your data is a it's a really important thing that's becoming it's relatively new on the scene for people. So I wish I had an alert that fired here I could show. When that alert comes into me in Teams, I'm able, the card that pops up, it shows me a quick snapshot of what's going on, why it got fired, what happened before that. And then I can click right in and drill straight into this Power BI, see what's going on and get to the underlying data really quickly. That could be something from some real-time data, like, something happened on the shop floor or near real-time, like MES data, or it could be, aggregate like this where my monthly, productivity dropped and now I need to go take some actions and call together some people to find out what happened or, what are we doing next month or whatever. So all of those things, though, driving action from my data, really, really valuable. I want to underline that.
Well, and I think, Tom, just to jump on that a little bit, too, a lot of times when you're looking at visualization, what you're looking for is the exceptions, right? I mean, everybody loves the happy graphs, but they don't really bring a whole lot of value. But what you really want to try to do is you want to try to find the exceptions in your data so that you can manage to those exceptions. And that's one of the great things about the alerting piece. Is that you can start, it will actually proactively reach out and say, hey, here's a situation that needs your attention.
Yeah. And I know Alex is going to show us Copilot here in a minute, but a sneak preview, being able to have Copilot generate some of those, find those exceptions and alert me to them without my having to have gone and asked it, that kind of thing. Exactly. Oh, good segue. Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for the segue, Tom. So perfect. So we've talked about the alerting, talked about the visual element of Power BI, but then there's also the querying your data with natural language. And what I mean by that is how I'm speaking to you today, just a normal people speak. So here, another one of our dashboards talking about sales metrics. And so I'm just going to ask it, let's say, give me a summary of what happened last month. So we'll go through, gives me a quick summary that I can look at. Then I want to start looking for some trends. So I can ask it, hey, I see there's some patterns. I can do that myself, but I'm going to ask the Copilot, based on this data, what trends do you see? And it's going to go and look, and it's going to call out top customers, fluctuation in sales, top production group, even calling out the high win percentage in that production group. So anytime we're quoting this, we're selling it. Maybe that means the salesperson's really good. Maybe that means the product's good. That gives you something to drill into. And then I can even go in and ask it, now, based on all of this, look into the future. What do you see is going to happen next month based on all the information that you have? And it's going to tell us, hey, the Midwest region is expected to continue to be a major contributor, looking at fluctuations on month to month. Just give me some insight and looking into the future. So give me that additional piece of feedback that I can see, I can drill for it, or I can just ask the AI to find some of those patterns that maybe I miss or just get a second set of eyes on it. Which is a really powerful tool to be able to look and talk. You're really able to have a conversation with your data at this point.
I think too, the performance that you're seeing out of here is directly related to Azure Fabric, as opposed to having a direct ODBC query, say, into your SQL database or some other type of interface. If you get this information and we start to normalize it and we put it into the Azure Fabric, this is where we start to get this type of performance where you can get this near real-time responsiveness. Because it's all sitting in the same it's sitting in the same platform, and that really I think it makes a difference. It from somebody who uses this stuff on a daily basis, I can tell you that that speed and that usability is huge.
I someone underlined that, Mark. You can see the invoice date range that Alex is looking at here spans 3 years. Now, obviously, this is sample data, but this is a significant amount of data that's in the back end, millions of rows of data that are being analyzed to give us back these answers and to be able to have those answers as you know, pretty much instantaneous after he's entering the question, is very much a function of having the data available in Fabric and having had it do its all of its magic, and I won't get into the detail, but all of its magic to have it be AI ready. Yeah.
And so then another.
Go ahead, Alex.
So then, and then the other way. So as we're talking, getting your data AI ready. So we talked a little bit about Copilot. We'll talk about Resolve IQ here. So by putting your data into a certain place where your AI is able to query it, you can now ask it to help you do other tasks and to help summarize data. Like right, what I'm going to show you is I'm going to ask for assistance making a quote. So I'm going to ask, Alex, hey, I need.
Sorry to interrupt you. Just can you spend a second just telling people what Resolve IQ is? I think a lot of the people here know that, but maybe not everyone.
Yeah. So our Resolve IQ is an AI platform. And so what it does, it lives inside of your 365 tenant, and you're able to then have safe, secure AI and key it into different documents. You're inside of Fabric. You can also connect into SharePoint, those types of things. So it's really, it's a platform to allow you to do AI in a safe and secure manner.
Awesome.
And so what I'm doing here is I'm going to ask it. So this is grounded in different SOWs that we've done. And so I'm going to go in and ask and say, hey, I need an SOW for a mail migration. So it's querying the data that we've put in there. Now it's going to do one important thing. It's going to ask for more detail, because it knows based on I need mail migration, it won't be able to produce an accurate result. So it's asking me all this additional information, also saving me from myself as making sure I have everything that you need. So I'm going to go in here. I've already pre-answered these questions, so you guys don't have to watch me type. So I go in, give it details on what I'm looking to do. And now, based on the information that it has, based on the SOWs we've given it, it's able to produce a statement of work in the format that we like, based off of our documentation, off the details I gave it, saving me untold amounts of time of having to type it all out and make sure it's in the right format and it's good to go. Tom, Mark, anything else you want to add here? Yeah,
I think the takeaway on this is we have a lot of our clients come to us and they're like, okay, you know, I have 337 PDF files that my salespeople need to flip through, or my customer service people need to flip through in order to find an answer. And by grounding it into a unique, secure language model, you're able then to easily query this like we've done here. And this is real live. This is what we do when we're doing a mail migration. We go to Resolve IQ. It's grounded in all our data, so that our salespeople don't have to go through and flip through all the, oh, here, this one looks like what I'm trying to do. And you know, instantaneously, bang, we've got a good, solid, in a good format that makes sense. Okay, so we're all done with Resolve IQ. Tom, you want to talk about another automation tool that we've used Resolve IQ for outside of natural language query, but just kind of an integration here?
So that's, you know, I mean, I think obviously we're a couple of years into ChatGPT being a thing in the world, so people are kind of getting used to this idea of summarize and query data and things like that. But, you know, one of the places where AI really shines is when you start to get into the world of automation and what can you actually have an agent do? So Alex mentioned earlier Resolve IQ as a platform. I saw Ross's question that Resolve IQ, yes, is a platform that 2W built. It's started about, 30 months ago now?
Yeah.
That we went live with it internally. And we've been continuing to develop and work with that platform, but it doesn't just do the natural language interaction pieces. It does a lot more, and we built it as a platform to be able to do automation. And again, I'm using Resolve IQ as an example. It's not the only one out there at all. Lots of other capabilities exist in the world. Just this is ours. But so customer service. You know, at 2W, we're ticket driven. Requests come in for our help desk or for sales or whatever. It's very ticket driven. Your business might be slightly different, but everybody's got customers, hopefully, and some kind of customer service operation, right? So in this case, I fired off an email to our help desk and said, hey, I'm having this problem. My computer's apparently possessed or trying to take over. I'm not sure which. So I had a little fun with it, but sent this email off to our help desk. And that fires off at a workflow. That Resolve IQ grabs that email and says, okay, great, what do I do? So first thing it did, of course, is respond back to me and responded back with some natural language. What's interesting about this is both that it's responsive to what I asked, as well as, again, working from our data. So this is working from our customer service data. It's working from our internal process documentation. It's working from our internal guidelines on, how do we bill? What's a minimum ticket? All of these things that we have set up in the, for this agent to work from, including even the little marketing blurb at the bottom, right? So it responded back to me, let me know what was happening, what was next. This one's probably not a great example of it, but if there were some quick things that it wanted me to try while I waited for a call back, it might have that here. Like, can you make sure it's plugged in or, whatever, right? Maybe a little more advanced than that. But again, some automation, take some quick load, get some quick response. But then where it gets exciting, right? So internally, this is what happened at the same time. Resolve IQ put together a quick summary. What's going on? The user's got this issue. Here's what the outcome of this ticket would be. Fix it, right? And what done would look like. What skills do we need to have involved? Although it didn't know that I'm on Windows 11 and picked Windows 10, that's because it didn't know what device I was coming from, right? But, what level of skills are required? What's the priority? What board? All the information that needs to happen for this ticket. Some quick next steps. And then a little bit of internally why it did what it did. What it did for device mapping, how I routed it, and is this an emergency or not? But in addition to all of that, so this is all useful information for our dispatch team. In addition to that, it took a number of actions. So this is the audit log for this ticket. Anybody who uses ConnectWise will be familiar with this audit log, or your system probably has something similar. These are all actions that were taken all within a minute. It's not showing the seconds, but within a few seconds of that email arriving. In the back end, it started doing things, right? Performing some analysis. It added some things to Cosmos DB over in Fabric to start doing some tracking. It added some all of those fields that it just determined and added to the tickets. It reached out to dispatch with some information. It reached out possibly in teams to a group of people, depending on the urgency of it and so on. All of these are things that happened completely automatically, autonomously in the back end, just from that simple email. So that's one example of what type of automation could be done. But I want to, that's our business, right? That's what it looks like in our business. But, really, I invite people to take a look and see, where does this apply in yours, right? What kind of, I hate this word agentic, because now it's everywhere, right? But what kind of autonomous agent type work could be done in your system? When a job closes in MES, or when an email comes into customer service, or when an order comes across, but things that you're currently using more or less step-by-step manual workflows for, what could actually be done there?
So let's talk just a little bit about why this is important, right? And I think the real-time insights is probably the biggest piece of this, to be able to see what's going on to your business, or being able to put this information together, right?
For me, if it's not the biggest, it's very close. And that's one of the things that's really, starting to really show up on the scene now for people, for companies, is this idea of being able in real time to be proactively notified about things, or in real time be able to make actual business decisions, have enough data, have enough context to do that, no matter how ingrained you are in your company and in your business, there comes a time when you don't know everything that's going on everywhere in every desk all the time. And AI is really good at that, you know, being able to keep track of a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving data and distill that down to what you need to make a business decision.
Yeah. And the other piece of this is that, you know, you've got to be able to push it out to everybody and they got to be able to make it work. And I hope the takeaway there, I mean, I know we blew through a whole bunch of demos here, but if we can communicate with our data the way that we communicate with each other, anybody can do that, right? Tell me about what's going on here and asking that, inquiring those questions. But really the piece to this it's got to work for your data and you've got to be able to integrate into all that other stuff. So Alex, I know you work through a lot of individual use cases on this. How important is that customization piece?
Oh, it's incredibly important. Everybody's does things just a little bit differently and making it fit, not having you fit the tool, have the tool fit you. And I think that's really important that you don't have to change your processes. You don't have to change the way you do things in order to get actionable views out of your data. You're able to mold the tool to fit the way that you do business, the way that you like things to be reported, and the way that you want to see it in order to take the actions that you need to do.
And let's talk just a little bit about, I don't want to beat the heck out of this, but let's talk a little bit about security, because security is a key component to this. It is the big gotcha to some of the other chat GPTs or some of the other publicly available AI platforms. Alice, you want to just talk a little bit about the platform and why it's important to keep your data in your tenant?
Yeah, it's all about who has access to your information. And the only way to get, and you want to guarantee the security. And really the only way to guarantee it is to control where it lives. And so that's why Power BI is a great tool, because that lives inside of your tenant in your, you know, in your 365 account. Resolve IQ, the way that we build that platform is we build it in your tenant inside of your four walls. So it's as safe and secure as your SharePoint, your email, your OneDrive, your Power BI. So it all stays in that box. So then you don't have to worry, oh, I can put client information in here. I can put forecasting numbers and look for plans and not worry that, oh, this is going to get released out to the greater world, then other people are going to be able to possibly steal your secret sauce or learn something they shouldn't learn.
Well, and I think too, the important part is it also drives off of your permissions that are driven mm-hmm. in your enter ID, because we want to make sure that, you know, financial information stays with finance and the execs and you know, personnel information stays, you know, in HR. And so we can, you know, we drive that access to that data from the security and the permissions that you probably already have into place, which brings us down to bring this in for a landing is, are you ready? And, you know, do you have clean data? How messy is your data? Tom, talk a little bit about that, because it can get unwieldy, because it can get mind numbing. How do we tackle that?
Yeah, I think this is good. You know, I mean, look, everyone who's on this call is probably here because they're interested in AI, or why would they be on this call, right? How do I get from here to there? You know, I don't need to convince anyone that AI is important and that business intelligence is important. We do find ourselves needing to convince people fairly often that their data needs some care and maintenance before AI is going to actually be useful. We get calls, we're a tier one Microsoft reseller, so we do licensing for people, right? So we get calls every day, you know, hey, I want to buy a half dozen Copilot licenses so we can play with it. And, you know, look, we'd love to sell you licenses, but it's important that we talk to you and have that conversation with people that just turning it on isn't going to be very satisfying. You're going to look at it. You're going to see that you're spending a fair amount of money and it's giving you the same results apparently as ChatGPT, right? For the most part. we talked about security already. Of course, it's staying in your tenant, different from something like ChatGPT. That's important. It's very important. But the other piece there that's really, you know, that's missing is having your data ready, having things into SharePoint, having things into other accessible formats, be they in Fabric or others, where Copilot can start to interact with that. Having done the work to clean up, set your permissions correctly, things like that. For some organizations, you've got decades of unstructured data that all live in the P drive public folder for your entire company, right? And you may or may not have those permissions set appropriately. Look, if somewhere in that P drive is the W-2 of the CEO from 3 years ago, and somebody asks, what does the CEO make? The AI is going to find that, right? Maybe it was buried, but it's going to find it. And if the permissions aren't set right, it's going to be able to return that data. And that's not what you want, usually. So, you know, getting those types of things, that data discipline, we've got great tools. The one that we recommend most, first of all, SharePoint as a file and document management backend works with all the Microsoft 365 stack, and then Microsoft Purview, data loss prevention, data tagging, data categorization, those kinds of things that work inside of Microsoft Purview. Again, I can go talk for a couple hours. I think I have this week already about Purview. You know, that's one you want to be looking at is, if you're not already, look at Purview, so some products you want to be thinking about out of this, you know, Microsoft Fabric for sure. Go do some research on that. Talk to us about that, but also talk to us about Purview. And that also probably brings us into compliance. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to talk about that today, but, compliance is obviously another big thing for clients. So
let's see how we did, guys. So we promised everybody this was going to be the takeaways, right? So we talked about accessibility, how to get your data unified, getting it into a system that'll do that regardless of where it lives, right? Getting real-time insights from your data. AI enhancements on that. I had honestly querying the Power BI templates through Copilot is huge for me personally. I use it all the time. But to do that, you have to have that information in Fabric, and then you have to be able to, and then have the Power BI's written to the information in Fabric. Security, we talked about security. That's, you can't talk enough about it, but somebody's going to ask you if you're going to implement tools like this, how secure is that, right? Or do you have a shadow group of AI users who are secretly using, or maybe not so secretly using, ChatGPT or one of the publicly available, and putting in, you know, business data that you don't want in the public, right? And then how do you make it work for your people? So I don't know, guys, you got anything else you want to wrap this up before we open it up for questions?
One thing just I want to add on to what Tom mentioned earlier is, you know, as you're getting ready for AI, and we get a lot of questions on, hey, I just want to turn on Copilot. I just want to turn on AI in my environment. That AI, if without a purpose, can turn into a party trick really quickly. And so our biggest recommendation is as we're looking into AI and as you're thinking, how do I get my business ready for AI? What do we do? Think of use cases. And we like to think when everything's AI, it's AI everywhere, big, grandiose, quantum computer, you know, this different GPT models. You want to ignore all that and think, what definable tasks can AI help with to make me more efficient? Small definable use cases versus AI everywhere. And that's the best way to start getting into AI, is looking for processes that you think there's got to be a better way. This is very manual. How do we make this quicker, more efficient? That's where AI comes into play.
Well said. And with that, Sue, let's open it up for questions.
Sounds good. So if you have questions, go ahead and send them through the chat box or the Q&A function at the top. First question, what manufacturing use case provides a quick ROI?
So I can grab that one. So one of the quickest ones that we've seen is querying your SOPs. How do what are what is my process for a non-conforming part? And normally, if it's a process thing, it's if I don't know the answer, I'm looking to the person to my left, person to my right, seeing if they know. And then if they don't, you're combing through PDFs, big Word documents. So loading in your process documents. How do I handle this situation? How do I enter an order our way, not just the generic internet way? So grounding it on your SOPs, decreasing that time to learn and pushing consistency, driving out tribal knowledge. That's a really quick one there. The other another quick use case is product information. Your help desk, your help files. I have a machine that is it's do it has this promise making this noise. What could that be? And instead of having your customer service department flip through the PDF, the binder of that product, you can plug in the question directly into the model or into Resolve IQ. I have this machine with it, that's making this issue. What could be the problem? And it'll search through all of your product information sheets to help get you to the answer quicker. Along with, hey, I have a client who's looking for this product. What do you recommend? And sorting it through that way as well. So combing through that kind of data is quick hit ROI, I think.
There's supply chain's another place where we see pretty quick ROI improvements. So doing some of the deep dive analytics on your purchasing process as well as your production process. Mostly companies already have enough data there that with a fairly minimal amount of massaging, we can start to get some useful data on inventory, safety levels, ordering procedure changes, things like that, that can give a pretty quick ROI. It's hard to say. Production efficiency is another one from that companies tend to have. They've been collecting that shop floor data already. There's some others, but those are some really good ones.
I think too. I think another really short putt is complicated spreadsheets. Spreadsheets from hell, where typically those are that's data that's structured that for some reason or another you can't get into your systems, you can't get into your ERP, so you're managing it someplace else. A lot of times, I see these complicated spreadsheets, and they have different data sources, right? I mean, that's what you're doing is you're trying to figure out how to do Azure Fabric within an Excel spreadsheet, and it's not very productive. But everybody's got them, and we're all guilty of using that as a solution.
Yeah, that's for sure a quick ROI for BI, and and leading to AI capabilities. Yeah.
Right,
What else we have?
next question. I just want secure chat GBT. How does that work?
Alex, you
Well,
want to take that or even show us maybe? You got a
I
second?
think it's easier to show than tell here. So the really nice part, and so we've said Resolve IQ is a platform. We keep saying that. And one of the main reasons we say that, and this will make a lot of sense, is you can load inside of the Resolve IQ platform any of the AI models that you want. So if you want just plain old ChatGPT, I want safe, secure work ChatGPT. You're able to do that. You can deploy just that model, that AI model, and then put it into your platform, and away you go. And then it will act, feel exactly like ChatGPT does, but you know that everything you put in there is safe and secure, and it's not going to leak out to the greater world. The other really cool part about this is you're able to put in different AI models out there. So if you're someone like Mark who really likes Grok, you can go in and select the Grok model, and now it'll act exactly like you're using Grok on X. And so it has that model underneath it, but with the caveat, it's safe, secure, and it's inside of your environment. You control that data, you control how it the outputs, those types of things.
And Alex, yeah, and to underline, it's not making a call out to Grok running on xAI, right? It's a copy of that model running in your Azure tenant, or your Microsoft tenant, to be clear. Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's
All
very
right.
cool, Alex. Yeah.
Next question. Can this be used to make BAQ creation simpler?
I mean, I'm going to go with yes. So if you're working in Epicor and you've got your, I'm going to talk about Epicor, but BAQs exist elsewhere. Just we're Epicor. That's what we do, right? If you know what tables you're grabbing from, so you can broadly give either the business object or the table structure of the tables broadly that you're looking for, tools like Copilot or even Resolve IQ, because it's got all the Epicor knowledge that's ever existed in its training set, are both fantastic at being able to put together SQL queries and do it in Resolve IQ's case in the Epicor slight twist of SQL to make it a BAQ. That can make those really quick. Now, I don't think that we've ever built it as a plugin inside a BAQ designer in Epicor. Might be a note for something to talk to our Epicor devs about. But you could do that externally really quickly.
All right, next question. I already have an ERP and a CRM system and various reports. Why do I need this?
Because you've got multiple systems. You've already got an ERP, you've already got a CRM, you've probably already got two or three other major data sources in your business. Let's start to bring those together into so a single set of tools can interact with them in a unified way. That's the Fabric side or some kind of a unified data platform. And then, you know, that ability to, I love Alex's term. I think Alex might have coined this even, you know, talk to your business, right? To use natural language to interact with your business data is huge for really pretty much everyone in your company. And then, you know, from there, be able to start to draw, you know, proactive stuff is just fantastic. So.
All right. I think we have one more question here. How hard is Power BI integration with Epicor?
It's incredibly easy. So we've been doing it for years. We're able to call into Epicor. We have those pre-built plug and play templates. Are exactly like you said, they're plug and play. We can connect into the SaaS database. We can connect on-prem, wherever you're hosted, we can connect into it. And like I said, we have plug and play, but we also can pull out any data that you have. If it's in the ERP, we can pull it out and put it into Power BI, no problem.
All right, I think that is all the questions that we have. Thank you everybody for joining us today. You can always visit us at 2wtech.com if you want more information or have any questions for our team. Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.